Helium-3 is used at ports and at border crossings to help sniff out radiation and prevent smuggling of nuclear material into the U.S. But there is a severe shortage of the gas. The Government Accountability Office has reviewed how the Energy Department has been managing the helium-3 inventory and whether there are alternatives. Joining us now with details of this report is Dr. Timothy Persons. He's a chief scientist at GAO. Dr. Persons, good morning to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Amy. Good morning to you. Good morning to Tom.
Now, first, who is in charge of the nation's helium-3 stockpile?
So this stewardship issue is one of the core findings in our report. There are essentially three key players. The first is the National Nuclear Security Administration, or the NNSA, which is the key agency which manages the stockpile of helium-3 since it is, in fact, extracted from tritium. Tritium is a special form of hydrogen that's radioactive and has an important role in the performance of nuclear weapons. Now, NNSA manages the national inventory of tritium and thus helium-3 through Savannah River Site in Aiken, South Carolina. The second key player in this is the DOE isotope program, and that's another component of DOE that has a role in the stewardship of the stockpile in that isotope program's mission is to produce and sell isotopes and then related isotope services and then maintain infrastructure required to do that, to conduct R&D on that, and to make sure that isotopes are delivered in a timely manner to their customers. Now, just as a reminder, a little chemistry 101, remember that isotopes are chemical elements or varieties of a chemical element that have the same number of protons but a different number of neutrons. And thus, helium-3 is special, vice the helium-4 that has one less neutron than the usual kind. Now, in terms of the isotope program, the fact that helium-3 was extracted from the tritium inventory approximately around a rate of 5.5% per year, it's not produced in the same way as other isotopes, and that was a key issue with respect to the internal controls management of DOE. And then the third key entity in terms of being in charge of helium-3, its allocations, came about since 2009, and that was a interagency policy committee, or the IPC, which was convened by the National Security Staff. And they were put in charge of overseeing and making policy decisions to manage the helium-3 shortage once the crisis came upon us. And so it's this multi-agency committee with key agencies and departments, such as Department of Commerce's National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, as well as DOD's elements, Department of State, of course, Department of Energy, and then the Department of Homeland Security.
But did you have a situation where one agency was selling off helium-3 unbeknownst to the other agency that was trying to buy it up, and you had this, and that's partly how the shortage got created?
That's right. I mean, we in our report, we have a table that gives a little bit of the history from March 2003 to January 2009 in large transfers of these things. And the isotope program was just selling it via auction based upon what NNSA was giving to it. And there were large transfers out into the commercial sector as well as a large transfer in August 2008. To another entity within DOE, the Spallation Neutron Source, which does the leading research in the United States on neutron science and thus needed a large amount of helium-3 in order to do its and conduct its mission, detect the neutrons.
So does that mean the United States might have to buy it back after selling it to the commercial sector?
Well, actually, what's going on is it's being sold to the commercial sector, and then various agencies, such as the Department of Homeland Security, at least heretofore, were just buying these what are called radiation portal monitors, and they were deploying them out in the field via the U.S. Customs and Border Protection, for example. And there are other Department of Energy, Department of Defense entities that work on nonproliferation issues overseas to do the interdiction of illicit smuggling of special nuclear material and so on, where you would want these detectors there to help provide sort of a first line of defense.
We're talking with Dr. Timothy Persons. He's a chief scientist at GAO, and he's explaining to us the shortage of helium-3 and why it's important to us. And a big part of why this is important is because it is used in Homeland Security. It is used to sniff out radiation at the border and to make sure people don't smuggle in nuclear material. So what can be done then to increase the stockpile since we're facing a shortage, or is it that agencies are going to have to come up with some sort of alternative?
It's a little bit of both. There are priorities that the IPC has set. First of all, what they did recently in fiscal year 10 was just decided that the domestic radiation portal monitors would not get any helium-3, and that forced the DHS to start looking toward alternatives on things. But the priorities the IPC set out are, first, that the applications for which there are no alternatives to helium-3, for example, there's medical research that uses a special kind of MRI or magnetic resonance imaging to diagnose a certain type of lung disease, and it can only use helium-3 for that. Another example would be in ultra-cold refrigeration systems that basic research scientists need to use. There's just no alternative for them. So that's priority one. The good news is on that priority, it uses very little. So that's relative to the large RPM demand as well as the large science detectors at places such as the SNS. The second priority was that there are programs for detecting nuclear materials at foreign ports and borders, so that Department of Defense, Department of Energy programs that exist out there, the first line of defense concepts are priority two. And then the third is that there are programs where they have already had substantial costs in these things, such as the SNS, which is a large science facility that DOE constructed in recent years and simply needs to use to do basic neutron science research.
But looking at this from a government management standpoint, it looks like you had one agency that's creating the stuff, selling it off wholesale, and you had another whole department that is acquiring equipment that needs helium-3 and wondering why it's getting so expensive and short its supply. Sounds like a classic lack of communication.
Absolutely. That's one of the core things our report found. The federal government learned of the shortage pretty abruptly, largely because NNSA, which was controlling the supply of helium-3, and then the isotope program, which was selling it, never really communicated about the exact quantity of helium-3 that was stockpiled, how much was being added to the stockpile each year, and then how quickly it was being drawn down. So it was definitely a case of one hand not talking to the other. For example, we found that the helium-3 inventory and production information wasn't shared between officials of the isotope program and NNSA because it was generally treated as classified by NNSA out of concern that the inventory of helium-3 and the extraction rate could actually be used to calculate the size of the U.S. tritium stockpile, which is classified information. So this need-to-know challenge between isotope program officials and NNSA actually resulted in this lack of communication.
Were you able to discern the urgency of the need for helium-3 and what sort of deadlines that agencies could be looking at?
Right now, we're not aware of any deadlines concerning helium-3. The IPC has provided their priorities for these. But in general, the IPC, under the leadership of the National Security Staff, they've done a pretty good job of rebalancing the supply and demand curves for helium-3. So they've developed this criteria, and they're managing this whole process through their committee, which has a process that annually allows people to request allocations for their various missions, and then they crosswalk that with the priorities that the IPC has set in, I think, last year. So.
And by the way, is helium-3 lighter or heavier than air?
Oh, helium-3 is, given it's a derivative form, it's actually lighter than air, so it still has that helium-4 party balloon-like effect. But it is, in fact, a little bit lighter than helium-4, obviously, because it has that one less neutron. But it's very expensive party balloon material.
Yeah, well, we won't be trying it anytime soon.